How are we all? Good? Good? Let's have some crowd participation straight away. We good? Excellent. You ready to receive a word from the Lord? Okay, well, you need to get your Bible out. That's the best place to start. And just in worship, you recognize the heart of God, the heart of the Father is such a precious place. Such a precious place. And you know, forgiveness is the heart of the Father. It's in his heart to forgive. And that's what we're going to look at today. And sometimes the topic of forgiveness is something that's quite difficult because it requires us to be active. So I want to ungag Jesus on this topic of forgiveness and look at what he really said and let it impact our lives. Is that okay? Let me pray. Father, I ask that you would give me grace to speak your words as you said them. And Father, I pray that we would have grace, that they would go deep into our heart and transform our lives, that we'd be a people that constantly forgive, Lord, and see your kingdom come in our relationships and in how we do life, that we would do relationships heaven's way. Amen. 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 Great. So we're going to be looking at forgiveness. And the first thing I wanted to look at is, what is forgiveness? It's quite a simple thing. We think, okay, I think there's two types of forgiveness. There's human forgiveness and there's God's forgiveness. Okay, so human forgiveness is really well described in the Cambridge Dictionary. And this is what it says: to stop blaming or being angry with someone for what they have done, or to not punish them. And it's probably the forgiveness that we're quite good at giving and quite good at receiving. We can, okay, we'll withhold punishment, but we're not blessing you. We'll withhold punishment, but we're not blessing you. But God's forgiveness is really quite different from that. And I want to look at four areas of God's forgiveness and let them impact us, our lives, and look at how it's different from human forgiveness. So point one, God's forgiveness is not dependent on the wrongdoer apologizing. Okay, let's all just cry now. God's forgiveness is not dependent upon the wrongdoer apologizing, confessing their sin, or even repenting. Romans 5:10 and Colossians 1, verses 23 to 22 talk about Christ died for us while we were still enemies of God. Christ died for us while we were still enemies of God. God offers us forgiveness way before we confess our sin, but we experience that forgiveness as we confess our sin. Therefore, if we're going to demonstrate God-like forgiveness, we are required to forgive people before they even admit they are wrong. That's a powerful thing. That's massively different from what the Cambridge Dictionary describes as forgiveness. Secondly, God's forgiveness is based on God's goodness, his grace, and his mercy. Similarly, if we're to offer God-like forgiveness, it's not based on ourselves. It's not because we're so gracious, or because we're so righteous, or because we're so holy. No, but it's because we have experienced God's goodness and his mercy for ourselves. Where did you experience that? You experienced it at the cross of Jesus, at his death, his resurrection. The cross is our constant reminder of this divine exchange, where we exchanged all of our sin and all of our shame for Jesus' righteousness and his perfection. That is why Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 22, don't just forgive seven times, but forgive 70 times seven. Jesus is saying God-like forgiveness is limitless, because God's goodness is limitless. So to demonstrate God-like forgiveness, we must constantly forgive those who have sinned against us. We must be able to give constant forgiveness because we remember how much we ourselves are forgiven. Thirdly, God's forgiveness means that rather than with just withholding punishment or to stop being angry with someone, we actually desire to bless the person that sinned against us. We are to love our enemies. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. And to love our enemies means we desire to do good for them. We don't desire evil for those we profess to love, do we? If you love someone, you don't profess to do evil. Sorry, if you profess to love someone, you don't do evil to them. God's forgiveness removes us from a place of wrath and judgment into a place of blessing. That is what the cross does. It removes us from being objects of wrath and punishment to objects of favour and blessing. If you've got a Bible, maybe you want to read Ephesians 2 with me. But this is what it says. I'm just going to read verses 1 to 3. So it's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And it says this. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins that you used to live in, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us, that's me and you, everyone, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Why? Because our sin makes us an enemy of God. But look at the next few verses, verses 4 onwards. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, even though we were enemies of God, he gave us life when Christ raised us from the dead, which is a blessing. It is only by God's grace, which is another blessing, that we have been saved, which is definitely a blessing. For he raised us from the dead long ago with Christ and seated us in heavenly realms, another blessing, because we are united with Christ. God loves to bless his enemies. This is a massive difference between human forgiveness and God's forgiveness. Human forgiveness is described in that dictionary definition. It doesn't require that we bless the person that hurt us at all. It just says to stop punishing them. It's like if you have a bank account and say someone's in debt with me, say they're £1 million in debt with me. Human forgiveness says, okay, just make it zero. But God's forgiveness says, if they're £1 million in debt with you, make it zero and then give them 20 quid, 50 quid, 100 quid, £1 million. Bless them. That's what God did with us. He took us from big minus debt and placed us in a nice, healthy bank account. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying. It's a massive difference. We have to be able to love our enemies. And fourthly, God's forgiveness enables relationships to be restored. Doesn't mean they are, but it enables it. Relationships to be restored because it brings healing and freedom to both people, both the person that sinned and the person that got hurt. God-like forgiveness releases healing. And the thing is, God-like forgiveness enables this. And again, it's another area that makes it very different from human forgiveness. That dictionary definition makes no reference to restoring relationship. But God's forgiveness enables us to have restored relationships. However, that being said, let me read this verse in Romans 12, 18. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Just hear that again. Do all that you can. Do all that you can. The word of God doesn't command that every single person that hurt you, you have to have a reconciled relationship with. It just says, as best as you're able, live at peace. The reason is, relationships are built on trust. And if you can't trust someone, you can't actually be in relationship with them. But you can still forgive them. That's a big point there that you might need to listen to again. Our Heavenly Father's idea of forgiveness is on a completely different level to human forgiveness. God's forgiveness is heavenly. It's of another world. It brings massive freedom to both our lives and the person who did wrong. Heavenly forgiveness is divine in nature. It's proactive. It's limitless. It seeks a person's good and it enables relationships to be restored. This is heaven's way, and this is also the Father's requirement. This is heaven's way, and it's what's required of you. Those of you who believe, this is what's required of you. That's quite a scary thing, isn't it? You think, okay, I'm required to forgive like this. If you profess Jesus as your Lord, you are required to forgive like this. Jesus commands that we give out forgiveness like this and that we operate in it. As we ungag Jesus on this topic, we discover that he doesn't just require that we choose not to punish someone for their wrongdoing, but we actually desire to bless them with God-like forgiveness and, if possible, fully restored relationships. Scarier than that is as we ungag Jesus, he tells us in Matthew 6, verse 15, that if we don't forgive in the same way our Father has forgiven us, we won't be forgiven. That's some meaty stuff. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And in Matthew 18, in the story of the unforgiving servant, which is verses 32 to 35 predominantly, we are told if we don't forgive, we will be handed over to torturers until our own debt is paid. Now, this is some proper, like, you know, it's like smashing you in the face. God's idea of forgiveness is up here, and it's no wonder people don't preach on it. I was terrified writing this sermon. I was scared for myself. I was like, okay, God, have I forgiven everyone? What am I doing? Am I okay? Are we good to go on this topic? So no wonder people leave it alone. No, they want to gag Jesus up. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is a collection of teachings of how to live heaven standard onto the earth. And in Matthew 5, verse 42 through to 48, this is what Jesus says. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And then listen to this verse, verse 45. And in that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you only love those who love you, what's the reward in that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that. If you are kind to only your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans, which in this context is non-believers, do that. And then again, another hard-hitting verse. But you are to be perfect. Wow. You are to be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And just to really cement this issue, Jesus goes on to say to his disciples, after the resurrection, after the cross, the new covenant is fully established, and he drops this bomb on us. Matthew 28, verse 20. Teach new disciples to follow everything I commanded you. There is no getting out of this type of forgiveness. Jesus wrapped it up and said, this is the model, this is the standard, it's new covenant forgiveness. You need to operate in it. There is no other choice for us. Clearly, this type of forgiveness is a big deal to Jesus. Jesus wants us to forgive as God does. He wants us to bring heaven into our relationships. Jesus wants us to forgive those who have hurt us wholeheartedly. Jesus says we are to be perfect like God is perfect. Why? Why? Why is there such a high requirement on forgiveness? Now, at this point, you might be thinking, okay, Dave, I get what you're saying, and I will try to forgive like that, but the thing is, you don't understand what's happened to me. You don't understand how much I've been hurt, abused, humiliated, rejected, let down. You don't understand how compromised I've been. I don't think this really applies to me. I don't think this applies to me because, you see, you don't understand my pain. Well, you know what? You're really right. I don't understand your pain at all. I don't. I really have no idea of the level of pain that you've experienced, that you may be experiencing right now, and that is locked deep down in your heart. Unfortunately for you, Jesus does. He really does. He knows what it's like to be abused. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be unjustly beaten and punished to death. He knows what it's like to be publicly humiliated. He knows what it's like to be disowned by family members. And he knows what it's like to experience every earthly pain that we can have possibly experienced. And he greatly sympathizes with you. And he greatly sympathizes with me. But Jesus also knows what it's like to be completely abandoned by the Father. None of us have had that experience. None of us have been in hell. But Jesus went there, completely abandoned by the Father. Jesus knows the pain we've suffered and experienced. And here's the kicker. He knows how to set us free. And forgiveness is step one in that process. Jesus knows all of your pain. He greatly sympathizes with you. And he knows how to set you free from all of it. Because he's been there and done it. And forgiveness is step one. Luke 6, 36, verses up to 38 says this, you must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured out into your lap. The more you give will determine the amount you get back. God wants us to enjoy the fullness of his blessings, the fullness of his kingdom. And that can only happen as we live out God-like forgiveness. God wants to give us a good gift, pressed down, shaken together, running over. When Jesus says our Father in heaven won't forgive us, he's not talking about our eternal salvation. He's not talking about your name being written in the book of life. He's not talking about whether you're going to get to heaven or not. Our salvation is based on one thing, the death and resurrection of Christ alone, and having faith in that. But he is talking about the level that you will live like Jesus on the earth, what we call the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, if you hold unforgiveness in your heart, if you hold judgment against someone, then it will hinder your prayers being answered. It will hinder healing in your life. It will hinder breakthrough. And it will hinder many other blessings that the Father would love to share with you being received. Unforgiveness is like a blockage. You know, when it's winter time and your radiators don't work, you know about it. You know about it and you're freezing. When you've got unforgiveness in your heart, it's like a blockage. And you're not receiving what you need. You're not receiving grace and mercy like you need it. It's a blockage. Unforgiveness gives a foothold to certain things. Bitterness, anger, loneliness, depression, anxiety, fear, revenge, murder, slander, gossip, hatred, and many other undesirable things. I believe in the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18. The torturers that are mentioned are the manifestations of these very things in our lives. It can be torture to live in fear. It can be torture to live in depression. It can be torture to live loneliness as you reject all the people around you. It can be torture to have constant anger boiling up inside you, and so on and so forth. These thoughts and feelings can place you in dark prisons in your mind and in your bodies. If unforgiveness goes unchecked in our hearts and minds, it produces horrible things that can lead to severe sickness in our bodies as well as our minds. As the things of God, like joy, peace, love, kindness, gentleness, compassion, generosity, healing and wholeness, they begin to diminish. And you might think, well, how can that work? Well, this is how it works. In Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. You will either hate one or love the other. You will either be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve. And it says both God and money. But you could apply it to anything. How can I, if I'm living with the master of unforgiveness in my heart, be giving forgiveness and receiving forgiveness? I have two masters. I will either love one or hate the other. If bitterness is owning my heart, then the things that bitterness produces are going to come from me. But if the love of God is owning my heart, then the things of God will be produced in me. Do you understand? It's a big deal. God wants us to enjoy the fullness of his graces. And he knows that we need to forgive to allow that to happen. This is why forgiveness is so important. This is why Jesus calls us to forgive others, because it releases them from punishment, but it releases us and allows healing and mercy to flow in our own hearts. Do you know punishment doesn't bring you any type of pain relief at all? When someone hurts you and then they get punished, you're not going to feel any better about it. You might say something like this though, they got what they deserved. They got what they deserved. Punishment doesn't create healing. Forgiveness creates healing. It allows wholeness to flow in your body, peace to flow in your body. The gag Jesus says this, I'll forgive you. You don't worry about forgiving anyone else. I'll forgive you. You don't have to forgive anyone else. That's what the gagged up Jesus says. He's so easy to listen to, really easy to follow, but it'll cost you years of pain and suffering and torture as you cling onto your bitterness and your unforgiveness. It will overtake your body like a cancer. But as you ungag Jesus and he commands you to forgive those who have sinned against you, it's really quite hard to hear, isn't it? You're thinking, no, I just don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that. It's really hard to follow. But when you follow him, you will experience the freedom and healing and peace that comes from forgiveness. So how do we forgive? How do we forgive like God forgives? By grace. By grace. The grace to forgive. True God-like forgiveness flows from our understanding of the cross. At the cross, we are reminded that our sin held Jesus there. That it was our sin that murdered Jesus. At the cross, we remember that it was our sin that had him stripped and beaten and spat on and battered and lashed and whipped and bruised and abused, publicly humiliated and taunted. As you see the cross, you see what you did to Jesus. And you see that Jesus offers you his perfect righteousness. We recognize that our debt with God is in the billions, way beyond any debt that anyone has with you. Yet our Heavenly Father accepts us and desires a relationship with us. As we think on the forgiveness that we have received, the debt that we have with God, it allows mercy and grace to overflow. It allows the work of Christ to rise up in your heart. It enables forgiveness to flow from us to those who have sinned against us. As we look at the cross, we get the grace to forgive. Let me read this wonderful quote from a woman called Corrie Ten Boom, a survivor of the Nazi death camps, who met a prison guard who had killed her father and her sister. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing. Not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so I breathed a silent prayer. Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me forgiveness. As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while in my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not our forgiveness any more than our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his, on Jesus's. When Jesus tells us, love our enemies, he gives along with the command, the love itself. This guy had murdered, was responsible for the death of his father and his sister. Yet she forgave him because she asked Jesus to give his forgiveness to her. It's powerful stuff. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind those that are in your heart that you need to release. As you release them, you'll be released yourself. So I'd like you to stand. And I just ask you to close your eyes. And the first thing first is just say under your breath, in the quiet of your heart, Holy Spirit, do I need to forgive someone? Am I holding bitterness in my heart? He'll tell you straight away. And if you've got someone on your mind, or maybe it's an organisation that let you down, you had a bad experience at a hospital with the local police, or at work, just ask Jesus, say, Jesus, give me your forgiveness. Give me God-like forgiveness. And then in the quiet of your heart, just say, I release you, whoever it is, whatever it is, I release you, you are forgiven. might not feel anything amazing has happened in your heart, but forgiveness is a spiritual thing. And something would have just happened in your heart that Jesus will continue to act on, that the Holy Spirit will continue to work on. And you might need to keep forgiving that person. But I'd encourage you, just as Corrie ten Boom, it's His forgiveness, it's His power that enables us to forgive. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that Your word is truth. We thank You that Your word brings life. Thank You that Your word heals our heart. Thank You that Your word drops in joy. It releases peace and it produces gentleness and kindness and compassion. Lord, we thank You that when we look at the cross of Christ, where all of our sin was taken, where all of our shame, all of our hurt was dealt with, in exchange with You, Lord, for Your righteousness, for Your perfection, for Your perfect health, for Your perfect goodness. Lord, we recognize that our debt with You is in the billions. And Lord, we say, help us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Lord, give us the grace to constantly forgive as we have been forgiven, and see people's hearts healed and to experience healing for ourselves. Lord, we say, let Your kingdom come, let Your will be done in relationships as it is in heaven on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Duncan.